You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There is plenty of room for you in my Creator's home. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I am on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I will come back and get you so that you can live where I live. And you already know the road that I am taking. And Thomas said, Master, we have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? And Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, and also the life. No one gets to the Creator apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Creator as well. And from now on, you do know the Creator, for you have seen the Creator. This is the good news of Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
All right, so let me start by saying, you know, and it figures that we would have a new person in church. Because I know nothing about this individual. They were looking to start their spiritual journey. What a place that they could end up to start their spiritual journey. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want the full bore of what it is to be progressive and affirming, you came to the right place. You're also going to hear a pastor tell you that as far as the Gospel of John is concerned, everybody who listens to me for a minute knows that my feeling about that is that it should have never been a gospel. Because as far as its writing is concerned, it's really a literary apology for the divinity of Christ. The author was trying to make sure that we all understood that Jesus was God. Amen? And that was partly because of what the church did 400 years after the fact. 400 years after the fact, they came up with this theology that is known as Trinitarian. Remember that? You all have heard that? In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm telling you, do the work, do the research. That's made up theology, man. They had to come up with a way that they could defend the Gospel of John. And John saying, or at least presenting this idea, that Jesus was God. Now, with that said, let me tell you what the exegetical people say. And I quote, the long discourses in John's Gospel, this one, always raise a question as to whether these are the actual words of Jesus or only attributed to him by the writer. Christian piety, I like the word the exegetical writers use here, piety. What that translates to in modern English is evangelicals. Okay? Hmm. Christian evangelicals or Christian piety profoundly endorse the verbatim record that these are the exact words of Jesus, every crossed I, every dotted
T.
No, it's every crossed T and every dotted I. There you go. Anyway.
You just see his writings.
Yeah. But if you're into Christian scholarship and actual study, word study of the scripture and translation, they almost universally accept that this is an attribution with the probability that there are some remembered sayings of Jesus contained in this gospel. Either way, this passage contains important theological truths that are as valid for us today as they were in the second or third generation of believers when it was written. Most notably, the most controversial, of course, is that Jesus is the only way to God. Is this an exclusionary viewpoint or a declaration that the full revelation of God is only found in Jesus? The debate roars today without ceasing. A few years ago, it came to the forefront by a press report of a statement made by a former moderator of the United Church of Christ, the very Reverend Bill Phipps. And he said, the issue is complex in a pluralistic age where the history of religions, Christian and non-Christian, is much more clearly understood than when Jesus' gospel was written in about 90 AD. Okay, so Jesus was crucified 33 AD. Okay, you with me here? That means he resurrected, and 30 days after that, 40 days, he's in heaven. And now 90, so 60 years later, this gets written. As with much else that has been written about history, now listen to this very closely. As with much else, what this question of did Jesus say this or not confronts the serious believer. That's each of you that are listening to me today and those of you that are sitting here. One's stance about this issue is going to depend on where you're sitting. Amen? Where your stance is depends on where you are sitting. Now, a real good friend of mine who is evangelical and thinks that Jesus is in fact God and said that Jesus is the only way to God, asked me how I could possibly say that this is not for us. Here's how I say it. Has anybody read the setup of this gospel, this particular story? Has anybody read it? Number one, it's during the Last Supper. John sticks it into the Last Supper. You know what the Last Supper was about, right? Mm-hmm. They were getting ready to end up in a really bad space. Jesus has already talked about the fact that somebody was going to betray him. He's already talked about the fact that somebody at that table was going to deny him. You see, things were about to get really bad. This is the teacher with his students. This is not a public conversation, amen? This is not Jesus sitting on the hill and telling people, hey, either believe in me or, you know, you're all screwed. That was never said by Jesus in a public fashion. As a matter of fact, what Jesus said in public was, come to me. Come to me. It didn't matter who you were. You remember the woman at the well? She wasn't Jewish. You remember the paralytic that was laying at the pond hoping to get healed? He wasn't Jewish. You remember the Roman soldier that came to Jesus and said, my son is sick and dying and he needs your help. So there was none of this business about Jesus claiming for himself that he was God. As a matter of fact, if you sit down and you study the Gospels, you'll find out that Jesus was learning to be the Messiah. He answered God's call. And as he learned more and more about God's all-encompassing love, he got closer to being what we know today is the Messiah. So this whole idea that he said to us, we can't get to him unless we go through him. I'm telling you, folks, it's bogus theology.
That would mean that those people believe that you would have to become Jewish because Jesus refused to change.
And that's part of the argument, too. That's part of the argument. And what I want to lay out to you this morning, though, is that he was talking to his students. I want you to think for a moment. Have any of you ever had a really hard conversation with somebody that you loved that was about to die? They had suffered a long time. And healing, the kind of healing that you wanted that would enable you to stay with them, just was not coming. In fact, it was at the end. I remember my mother telling me that she was ready. I remember when she got the diagnosis and the doctor started telling her all these things that they could do. She looked at the doctor and she says, I don't know why we're having this conversation. I am ready to go. If you've had that kind of conversation, understand that at this supper, Jesus is having that same conversation with his friends and with his disciples. He is telling them that he is about to be killed, that he's about to be arrested, and that everything that they thought was great was going to fall apart right in front of them. And so he was looking for a way to say, listen, this is not over. My mom told me I would still have to get a haircut after she was gone because she would let me know. Uh-huh. How many of you have heard from those that are getting ready to turn that page? You are not losing me. You are gaining an angel. Doesn't mean they're God. Doesn't mean they're the only way for you to get through life. It is the way that people do tell other people that they care about that they are not leaving them. And that, my friends, is what Christianity is all about, is it not? If there's no resurrection, then we're fools. Because that's the promise that we're given. Not that Jesus was God. The message that we were given is don't be afraid of death because it hasn't got a hold of you either. Just because you're done on this planet doesn't mean you're done. And so Jesus was trying to give them a way that they could hang on in the most heinous of situations. People were going to be hunting them down. Do you know by the time the Gospel of John was written, there were no disciples left, folks. They had all been killed. Let's peel the onion back. Three things that we get out of this story. Three things that I want you to go home with today, knowing what this story is for. Are you ready? For those of you at home, you might want to write this down. For those of you here, I've got it, so you can write it down later. But you want to remember this. Number one, if you have faith in Jesus, you will overcome your worry. And actually, what I want you to do now is sit there and think about being at that table with Jesus. And instead of him saying to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life, hear him say to you, if you have faith in me, you will overcome worry. Why will we overcome worry? Because Jesus told us, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives. And my God, the world's not doing very good at peace these days. But like Jesus gives. That drink of cold water. That article of clothing. That visit when someone is sick or imprisoned. Number two, if you have faith in me, you will have direction in your life. Folks, it's easy. You want to know what to do? You want to know how to live your life? Look at the teachings of Jesus. And yes, I will tell you that sometimes they're hard. But no, we do not get to kill people just because we disagree with them. We do not get to kill people just because they behaved in a manner that we didn't agree with. In fact, Jesus' direction was simple. A new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And number three, if you have faith in me, you'll have help along the way. Amen. Couldn't be any more obvious than that, could it? I know that a few years ago they did that thing that, you know, churches, they always take things to the extreme end. But that whole thing where everybody was wearing bracelets, what would Jesus do? I don't need the bracelet. I know what Jesus would do. If you were faced with a decision to make, do whatever will bring about love. Do whatever will provide the people you are around with the most dignity and honor that you could possibly give them. And yes, that message is for you that are in broken relationships. That is a message for you that are at jobs that are driving you to the point that you maybe want to drink. That is for you in the transgender community that feel like you have a big target on your back. The answer to all of this is to do what Jesus taught us to do, and that's to love. Oh, yeah. And I'll say this, forgive the idiots, because they don't know what they're doing. If they're hurting you, they're not following Jesus. There was a woman that was diagnosed with terminal illness. She was given 3 months to live. And as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and she asked him to come to the house to discuss her final wishes. She told him the song she wanted at her funeral. She told him the scriptures and even the outfit that she wanted to be buried in and what Bible she wanted to be with her. And as the pastor was preparing to leave, she said, "Oh yes, one more thing. And the pastor said, "What is that?" And she said, "Now this is really, really important, but you got to do it. I want to make sure that there's a fork in my right hand." Pastor looked at her and said, "A fork? In your right hand? Why?" And the woman said, "In my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, when the dishes of the main course were being cleared from in front of us, someone would inevitably lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.' It was my favorite part of the meal because I knew something better was coming. Something like chocolate cake or a deep dish apple pie. So when people see me in the casket with that fork in my hand and ask what's with the fork, I want you to tell them, 'Keep the fork. Something better is coming.'" That is what this gospel is about. That is what Jesus was trying to tell us. And if you got the welcome to the new week, and if you believe and can hang on to what I was saying today, then do this today. Clean house. Make a clean sweep of all malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk, because now you've had a taste of God. And like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. And then you're going to grow up mature and whole and God. And it won't matter what the rest of the world does. God bless you. Amen.